Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's a pleasure to see everyone here as we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. Praise be unto God. Let me go down there and welcome everyone.
Friends, again, welcome to our Easter morning worship service. It is a pleasure to see everyone here on this beautiful Sunday morning. Friends, the Lord has risen.
He is risen indeed.
Friends, please join me as we remember our baptism. Let these waters, renew in us the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Together.
Let these waters make us long.
Friends, please stand. all may be seated. Friends, please join me in silence as we come to God confessing our sins. Let us sing the assurance of pardon together. As we have received that grace from God for the forgiveness of our sins, we have peace within our hearts. Now then, let us share that peace with one another. May the peace of Christ be with you. Let us share that peace of Christ with one another. Friends, at this time, we will hear the choral anthem from our choir, The Risen Christ. Thank you to the choir. Friends, please join me as we read from the book of Isaiah, our Old Testament lesson for today. And I will be reading this in honor of what God has done for us through the cross. It will not be mentioned in the sermon today, but I will read it in honor of what Christ did for us on the cross. Isaiah 25, verses 6 through 9. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wines strained clear. And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces, and the disgrace of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, "Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation." This is the word of the Lord. Friends, please join me as we sing our prayer for illumination. Seek ye first the kingdom of God.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you.
A reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciples set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of the Lord. May God bless the hearing and reading of this word. It's kind of hard to preach about the resurrection without going through a bit of drama, without going through a bit of sorrow. And so I begin with two stories that relate to the feeling, that hopefully relates to the feeling that Mary Magdalene had when she came to the tomb. A wife had been married to her husband for more than 50 years. goes through this dream at night as she remembers how they both met many years ago. In the dream, she sees her and her husband walking along the boardwalk at their favorite location. As she dreams on, there's a smile on her face. And in a soft voice, she says his name in her sleep, saying, "Wilfred, Wilfred." As she makes a turn to the other side of the mattress, swinging her arms with her eyes closed, she pats the mattress, and opening her eyes, she sighs deeply, realizing that he's not here. A girl looks at the clock in her school and anticipates her Friday afternoon with Papa, with Daddy. Every Friday, she would always come home and anxiously wait for her daddy to pass through those doors at 6 p.m. She was told that every Friday would be daddy-daughter day at the park, or daddy-daughter day at the movies, or daddy-daughter day at the local church. She loved spending time on Fridays with her daddy. So the clock strikes 3 o'clock. She jumps up, puts her books in her bag, and on the way home she goes. She gets home anxiously, waiting to spend time with her father, and she is sadly reminded that her daddy had departed 3 days earlier. She is reminded that he is not here. Then we have the story of a woman we just read about, who, being enslaved to her own sin, came, encountered a man whose words delivered her from the evil that constantly haunted and controlled her heart. As a measure of her gratitude for what this man did for her, she poured on his feet an entire bottle of perfume that she spent an entire year working for. When it came time, however, for this man to die, she was there on the day of his death, witnessing his suffering, heartbroken at the idea that such an innocent and righteous man would suffer the way he did. Yes, my friends, Mary Magdalene was there when they crucified the Lord. She stood at the foot of the cross, participated in his burial preparations, and is here now looking for him again, only to find him absent from the place he was buried. He is not here. How can we truly measure one's devotion to the things one cares about? The gospel story we just read earlier resonates very well with the many stories that illustrate the suffering of those who deal with the absence of something precious to them. At some point or another, we have all shed the tears of Mary Magdalene, seeking to find something precious, something worth giving our love towards, only to discover that it's no longer in our grasp. Of course, like Mary, when we deal with the absence of things that are precious to us, some may become angry and bitter. Some may live in denial for a moment, and yet others will go elsewhere to fill that void. But here in Mary's story, weeping is the response. And I find it hard to believe that weeping would not be our response when we're confronted with such absence in our lives. But just as much as we can find connection with Mary's story of absence, we are invited this morning to find connection with the part of her story that allowed her to find meaning to the absence she was struggling with. As we read in the story, Mary entered into the tomb and saw two angels. Apparently, she didn't see what Peter saw earlier, which was the linen cloths that were folded. The account reads that Mary saw two angels, of which the question came to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" Her response tells us clearly how Mary understood the absence in front of her. Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. To her, to Mary, the absence of her Lord meant that someone must have taken her Lord away. In her encounter with Jesus, however, we can't help but notice something very important, especially when we're struggling with the absence of things we hold dear to us. No one can ever take away the Lord from us. In this life, we struggle with the absence of certain relationships or certain possessions. Or as we get older and our bodies fail us, we struggle with the absence of certain functions or certain strengths we used to have, and so forth. But whatever absence we're struggling with, the good news is that no one can ever take away the strongest part of us, and that is our faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, because He lives forever. Praise be unto God. We are not guaranteed that certain things will last forever, that relationships will last forever, or possessions will last forever. The Easter story reminds us that the presence of Christ is the only certainty we have in this life. And Mary had a hard time struggling with that, especially since this certainty lives even also in death. For Mary, the absence of Jesus in the tomb did not convince her to alter her expectations or her plans. She was determined to find the body of her Lord and finalize the burial preparations. But in her determination, in her expectation, in her plans, she tarried a bit with how God viewed the absence she was struggling to comprehend. There are times, and we know this very well, when we try to subject God's will to our own vision and our own expectations. Now, although the story is told in such a way that Mary seemed so consumed with sorrow that she mistakenly perceived Jesus as the gardener, it does not take away the fact that there are times we like to subject God's will to our plans. Whatever expectations you and I have, this Easter story reminds us to be open to whatever God is planning. Mary had a plan, and she was determined to accomplish it. Yet even as Christ was standing in front of her, her overwhelming grief kept her from seeing how God understood the absence she was wrestling with. But regardless of how we stand in God's way of doing things, whether it is grief or pride that blocks the way, when we finally surrender to God's plan, at some point we realize how confused we were in thinking that new life would appear if Christ was going to surrender to our plans. But it was through the voice of the risen Christ that Mary finally understood that her expectations were not valid and that her plan was not worth continuing. It was through the voice of one, that one who conquered the grave, who suffered death in the most brutal of ways. It was through the voice of this one who was once dead and now alive that she was able to find meaning to the absence she was struggling to understand. Like Mary, when we search for God, it seems at times as though He's absent. But the story tells us that He is very near. You just have to look in a different direction. Mary turned around, did not face the tomb. She turned away from the tomb. She had to turn away from her expectations, from her own plans, and turn to the plan of God that offers new life and peace eternal always. So friends, as we stand alongside Mary at the tomb, we weep with her, facing those moments where we suffer the absence of things dear to us, only to recognize that something new and life-giving is just around the corner. As we stand alongside Mary at the tomb, we come with plans that nurture our own expectations, only to come across God's plan and subject ourselves to the new life offered by the living Christ. And as we stand alongside Mary at the tomb, we do come struggling with the uncertainties of life, only to realize that the risen Christ is the only thing guaranteed in life and in death. Amen and amen.